Mishkan, you're never alone.
Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour. This is Nitza Moshe for Remnant Remedy, and I have my special guest, Suzette Robinson, who has been with us through the whole series that we're continuing on preparation skills for the Remnant Bride. Shalom, Suzette.
Shalom.
All right. We have had a really crazy time since we last spoke, and talking about preparation, it just occurred to me, really need to maybe address something that happened during the Boston episode. And that part of my concern that maybe I'm just putting out there, I don't have any answers, but it's really stirred up in my spirit and has concerned me, is that they went in door to door without any search warrants into people's homes, forcing them out with their hands on their head, treating them as if they were, a problem and a suspect. And I think that's very scary. And that is the reality. We've known they've done this in little isolated cases, but this was an experiment they did with an entire neighborhood in a section of Boston. And there were actually people who even complained that they didn't come to their door and do that to them. That is how mind-washed we have become. And so, Suzette, something that I would just like to ponder here for a moment is, we know that since the 90s that I know of, there have been executive orders written that, you're not supposed to have more than, a couple of weeks of, food stored and stuff like that. And we've been talking about preparation. And of course, they're monitoring here us here on the airwaves, et cetera. And we just have to really pray for Yahweh's protection and provision. But that is something that maybe you want to put into your plan, because I'm just thinking, if the mindsets are already so much different, that when they were running through these people's houses, they're using them as an opportunity to see what is in the people's house. And I saw this in Florida in 2004 after the four hurricanes hit, boom, boom, boom. And I actually was part of a contracted worker to assess damages to see if they would qualify for FEMA funds. And, they were actually recording everybody in the house, layouts of the house, et cetera. And that was an opportunity used through a disaster, and the people welcomed it. So do you have any comments, Suzette, on that? Because I think that's something to really pray and consider as how we're going to address that.
I think that we know that things have gotten, we see things are getting more and more controlled. And like you said, people are ready, and they're begging for it practically, which is frightening. Certainly not the nation that many of us grew up in and many people served and defended. I heard somebody say recently, and they were a retired police officer, and we were talking about video, and everything's got video. And he said, and I said, oh yeah, everything's got video on it. And he said, well, yeah, that's how we caught those the criminals in Boston. And I thought, it wasn't even, he's a person who was sworn to defend and uphold the Constitution and mm-hmm. and people. And it didn't even come out of his mouth, or, it was sad to me that he didn't even stop and say, but yet he's still, innocent till proven guilty, or, he still deserves, a trial, or, catching people is one thing, but I think that what we saw is that there was no no due process and no thoughts of, like you said, warrants weren't used. Not only the criminals, but the regular citizens lost every bit of due process as well.
Right. And part of this whole scenario is, I even heard supposedly on the regular news that, well, we didn't get to see, or we don't get to see the real incriminating stuff. All I saw was flashes of pictures of guys on the street. That does not make them guilty. And even in, regular America that we grew up in, you could have seen them with the pressure cooker, but you know what I mean? There would have had to have been a more due process. And the thing is the people that are listening and watching, like you say, people who should know better, are just so numb and brainwashed that they don't stop to say, wait a minute, there's a problem. I don't like Islam. I know Islam's out to kill and destroy me and everyone in it that doesn't submit to them. But, I don't want some Islamic person to die or get attacked needlessly just because he is and he's not proven guilty.
Right. Nobody wants to see, Sharia law in this nation. And, you know, I'm in Michigan where we have Dearborn stand. So, it's a real personal, you know, close to the heart issue, in this area, too close for, you know, my comfort. And, but that doesn't mean that we want to throw everything away that this country has always stood for and that people, and I'm not just, you know, trying to beat my patriotic chest. This is something that we, you know, we've been founded on freedom and a sense of, you know, moral responsibility. And this is one of the punishments that we see that Father has allowed this nation to suffer. The farther we go from his laws, the more of man's laws we are getting. And right. We're seeing that really, really magnified, and it keeps on coming.
And so, you know, to me, this was the shot heard around the world in that they are really beginning their plans to take over. But all along that lines is, let's get back to, you know, your preparations. Maybe you don't want all your preparations in one place.
Yep. And that's certainly things people do. Some people plant them en route.
Kind of off subject, but it's the same principle. Is I know a lady, a single mom, who's really had to struggle, you know, and she's in some housing, you know, aid, and she gets aid for housing. And when they're going in and inspecting them now, and she had extra clothes because she buys and sells clothes or items to try, you know, she's trying to make a living and pay some grocery bills. And they called her hoarding because she had these extra items that, you know, she's buying and trying to clean up and refurbish and put back out there and sell.
Wow.
And so she has to be, you know, evicted because she's hoarding. And of course, you know, she can't have these yard sales and stuff. So this is where we've come. And it's a very, very scary situation. And I don't know how we are not going to go through it without his presence, because if we think we're going to become, you know, go through this unscathed, I think we're sadly mistaken. I do know that, you know, there'll be some provision and protection, absolutely. But don't think that the bride's going to get rid of her wrinkles by being protected through the entire thing. That's for sure.
Yeah, we need to have a lot of this pressed right out of us.
Yeah.
Hot and lots of pressure, heat, steam, and pressure.
Now, one of the things, this show tonight actually is supposed to be about first aid, basic first aid, particularly with essential oils. We're going to talk about some herbs and stuff. But before we jump into that, because we might actually have to continue this, there was something that came up in the news. I saw in the past week, I believe it was on True News, and there was a link to the Times of Israel. And I guess it's linked to timesofisrael.com. And there's a news article called Israeli Firm Talks Up Mankind's Recovery from the Tower of Babel. Now, I was reading this article and I was like, oh my gosh, this is really scary. And of course, this is all tied to electronics, electromagnetic frequency and energy and technology. So, you know, I pay attention to these things. And just the main quote here from this article, I encourage you to go read it, is, you speak in your language, but the listener hears you in his or her language, by phone, internet, or even face-to-face. It's a linguistic revolution, says the innovators behind Lexiphone. And if I understand correctly, I believe this company is actually out of Israel. And, you know, to me, it's alarming that man, even in Israel, wants to synthesize all of everyone being in one accord with one voice, which of course is the reason why at the Tower of Babel, we were all given a different speech so that, you know, all the evil could not get together to accomplish anything they wanted. And of course, Yahweh promises in Zephaniah that in the last days, he's going to return us to a pure lip and a pure language, and we're going to walk in accord. Now, today we were sitting out there on the lawn with my children, and we were reading the book of Acts. It was the most beautiful sunshiny day I've seen in ages here where I live in Northwest Montana. I only saw one chemtrail and I spoke against it, told it to go back where it came from. And
hallelujah.
We were reading the book of Acts, and all of a sudden this article came back to my mind. I was like, oh my gosh. So in Acts chapter 2, it says, and they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these peoples which speak Galileans or from Galilee, which actually were the 10 lost tribes of the Sumerians. And how do we hear every man in our own tongue wherever we were born?
Isn't that interesting how they're actually imitating the work of the spirit? Isn't that the nature of Hasatan?
Right. And so this is the Ishmael, I'm going to say. Lexaphone is the Ishmael that comes before the true restoration and the true tongue. And, you know, it's just like this Project Bluebeam that they got, you know, part of the chemtrail thing. That's why they want to create this magnificent matinee TV show for us in the sky. Because, you know, if you go on to read through the book of Acts, you know, he says, you know, when they ask him, when are you coming? And he says, you know, I'm going to be coming just the same way you've seen me. I'm going to be descending instead of ascending. And you're going to see the sun go dark and the moon and everything. And if you, for the listeners who do not know, please go to Paradigm Shift or maybe Beast Watch News and, you know, do your research on the Bluebeam Spectrum
Project,
or it has some different names, Project Bluebeam. And, you know, basically they're trying to prepare us while poisonous at the same time of creating this electromagnetic frequency energy in the atmosphere so that you get to see the return of your Messiah in your language, in your religion, wherever you are in the face of the earth. And I think this is really where the scriptures are referring to. I'm not saying it's the only way, but how even the very elect will be deceived.
If it were possible, absolutely. This is creepy, creepy. They're getting pretty good, aren't they?
Yes.
And if you see all the things they've put in the media, there's a new series on sci-fi, Alien Encounters, and it's a storyline. And if you've ever seen, you know, anybody who's seen the Alien series that are running, there's another one. It's on the Science Channel, Alien Encounters, and there's another one, Ancient Aliens. And I saw one recently where they talked about the prophets, and they said the prophets were probably aliens, and that's where they had their power to bring fire, like Elijah. I mean, you know, they bring stuff right out of scripture.
Oh, wow.
And then
yeah,
they were talking about how Elijah was able to call fire down from heaven because he was an alien. And I thought, wow. And I remember I was ironing and I'm sitting there listening to this, and I thought, Father, they have made it so close. Like we said, you know, if you really didn't have your real strong faith and a real foundation in Torah and in scripture and a real strong relationship with Father and Yeshua, you could be so deceived by this because they have locked it up so tightly and made it all fit. Yeah, they're not denying the Bible. They're explaining it in the terms of science. And now science has like this. They're catching up with what Yah actually did.
Absolutely.
You know, and the spirit has done in the past, just like the, you know, bringing people back to life or giving people, healing people and giving people new organs and, you know, growing them on they may be growing them on ears on the backs of mice, but you know, if you're missing your ear your whole life, you don't care that it grew on the back of an unclean animal, right? You're going to have an ear.
People don't. They'll accept anything regardless of how it came, whether it's defiled or not. That's true. That's very true. And that's appealing to the flesh and not the spirit and the truth of Yahweh and his Torah. And I do it when I teach at conferences. I do digitized and deceived and Debar, you know, how this all relates to creation and how, you know, this technology, and they're using electromagnetic frequency and energy and things that, you know, the enemy understands what Yahweh did and how he created it. He's using it against us. And the people are buying it hook, line, and sinker. But this is the only way that they can artificially be omnipresent and omnipotent. And they are using the satellite space program and technology to do it. That is why when the scriptures talk about when he's going to shake everything that needs to shake, those things are going to shake. And that whole echelon spider web that's all around us, and now all the cameras and the drones that we have right here in our backyards are going to be destroyed because they depend on that. But between now and then, we have to wake up and understand what is going on and, you know, just beg for Yahweh's mercy and protection.
Absolutely. Father, have mercy and open the eyes of those who don't see it. One of the, I didn't get to read the whole article, but one of the sentences that jumped out on me was, it's a quote, and it says, "We believe that our product is the harbinger of this revolution." And it's so interesting.
The
harbinger, but you know, the harbinger is the, you know, anybody who's seen Rabbi Kahn's work about the harbinger, and it's made New York Times bestseller. We know Father's really worked, you know, miracles with that. Even people who normally don't don't lean towards the Hebrew roots or stuff are reading his book, and maybe they're seeing a little bit more in, you know, how Yah speaks to this nation. I keep thinking, think about it. If he is punishing us the way, if he warns us and punishes us the same way that he has warned and punished ancient Israel, do you think the other things about ancient Israel apply as well? And it would make sense. Yes, is the answer. Of course, we understand that, but there's many people that may not see that connection, that he never changes. And if he's going to speak to us in that same ancient way, the other things he has said are also still true and still apply to us. But the word harbinger jumped right out, and certainly it is a harbinger.
Absolutely. And yes, that is, it is amazing to me. I don't care if you're two house Jewish, Christian, people are listening to the harbinger and take an account, and maybe hopefully it'll drive them back to their scriptures and see what's there. Even non-believers are looking at that. So anyway, I just had to bring that up. That was just so exciting, because you know what? If there's an Ishmael, there is an Isaac on the way.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So in the last part, we did part eight, I believe it was, we left off with, we were talking about food, torpedoes and gauze and stuff like that. And so today we're going to start on basically an essential first aid kit. And of course, I encourage everyone, go do your research about first aid. Me personally, though, what Father has shown me through all the years that I've had to fix myself and survive outside of the realm of a lot of mishaps with the medical system. And for my family, I've learned to use herbs and oils, essential oils. And again, whenever I talk about anything regarding essential oils, please, I am qualifying it, pre-qualifying it with 100% pure essential oils, not pure as in 3 to 10% that FDA allows people to put on their bottles. And if you don't understand that, please go back to our podcast, go to remnantremedy.net, click on Remnant Mama Radio, and it will take you to a list of a lot of shows and teachings on essential oil, shemen, and there's, I have shemen 1, 2, 3, 4, so on. I have essential oils. We have Remnant Remedy. I think we have like 6 to 9 shows just on the first aid kit. So we're just going to be breezing through this today and maybe next time. But if you really want more detail, you'll want to listen to those radio shows that we did. And again, these are just things that I've seen and I use, and these are only things I have in my medicine cabinet. I don't use a lot of the other things that other people do. So I just have so much to stalk into this. So, okay. So we're going to first, before I get actually into the oils, and a lot of this, we're going to be discussing the first aid kit and the first aid plus kit, which are Remnant Remedy chest kits that are available at remnantremedy.net. You actually save when you order the kits and you get a free carrying case. And for anyone that's listening right now, until Sunday night, we actually have a 15% off sale. If you know what the codes are, you'll know because you signed up for our newsletter, and that's the reason to sign up for our newsletter. So if you're listening to this right now and you'd like to learn how to do that, you can contact me and I'll send you to the newsletter I just released this week. And we have a savings next week at 10% and so on. So anyway, here, before we get into the oils, let's just talk. Okay. We have talked many times about linen and, you know, have an ACE Band-Aid. You know, the kind that you do for sprains, et cetera. I actually make mine out of linen, and I make them at least as tall as I am. And the reason I do is because I don't have to just use it as an ACE Band-Aid, because it's linen and all the wonderful properties of linen that we won't take time in the show to share. I can soak oils in it. I can soak comfrey and herbs for muscle and bone tissue, which we just had to use last month for my husband. He was out doing some things with logging, and you know, he was totally incapacitated almost. And so we took the bone, flesh, and cartilage formula that I like to use from Dr. Christopher's books, and I soaked my linen in it, and then I wrapped it, and then I wrapped plastic around him. And I also applied our oils because I use sometimes oils and herbs. I think that oils are more than sufficient, but my old training was on herbs and I don't use them hardly at all anymore, except for when I'm really serious. And then I pull all my guns out because I got to get my husband back to work. You know, for the first time in 20 years, he can't work because he was hurt. So you can use that. You want apple cider vinegar. You can also soak your feet in apple cider vinegar, especially to get rid of those crystals that are caused for like varicose veins and arthritis and stuff like that. But you could, if you want to just soak it, you can, you know, into a little tub, you can actually wrap your linen around that has been soaked in the apple cider vinegar. And you know, there's rose hips, comfrey, et cetera, things like that, that you want. You want a belt. You could use your long strips of linen, but if you got, you know, when your kids outgrow their belts or your husband or you for that matter, you can use your belts. You want some belts in your first aid kit in case you need a tourniquet, you know?
Yep.
Suzette, at the Boston thing, I mean, how many people were quick enough to think on their feet to pull off their shirt or a belt and use it as a tourniquet for people who had their limbs blown off?
I don't know. That's training that you get when you take first aid in the military.
Right. But it's common sense if you ever did a first aid responder course or something like that.
Right, right. Yes. A good course won't have every single situation, but certainly, you know, for some of the things we may be thinking are coming, but for the basics, stuff like that, a CPR course and a basic first aid and, you know, survival training, all those things will help you think when those things happen. I think that's one of the biggest things that people have to overcome is if you've had some kind of training, your brain can get used to the idea that you have to do that. You have to think, as I say, outside the box in those situations.
Right. And, you know, and if you don't want to take those courses, you know, and those people who do have these skills, I encourage you, get together with your believers and your congregations and your, you know, however, whoever you circle with and find out, you know, how to do some of these things is not going to hurt you, and do them as a family together if you can. These are things to learn, and so that you at least have something, you know, filed back in the data of your mind. What would I do? And I think between that and the Holy Spirit, you can go a long way.
Amen. We need the Spirit for sure.
Okay. One of my favorite old timers before I really got into oils and understanding them is Oregon Grape and Golden Seal. Now, this is normally about wound care. However, Golden Seal is so good for so many other things, diabetes and other things. Echinacea, Golden Seal, you know, those are two things that every mom needs to know about because these are natural immune builders and they can attack. You know, you got strep throat or something. Yes, we've got essential oils that will do that, oregano oil, et cetera. But Golden Seal and Oregon Grape are some of my old time staples. The only problem with Golden Seal is you're going to find our oils are a lot less expensive than Golden Seal. And here's the thing about dry herbs. Dry herbs don't last forever. They lose their potency. Essential oils, if they're good and they're pure and they're stored correctly out of the light and heat, they are basically indefinite. And so they're also easier to use because you can inhale them, you can apply them if they're 100% pure. You, for most of them, except for there's a few that you shouldn't, you can take them internally. That's why the essential oils, you have so much less space, number one, and they do so much more with just one or two drops. But if you're the herbalist kind and or you see these herbs, I encourage you, or you can wildcraft them. I can walk out and get Oregon grape here, but it is a pain to process. So I don't like to use it that much. But here's a couple of things. I would use Gentle Healer, Frankincense, and Helichrysum Metallicum now. But if I only had Oregon Grape and or Golden Seal, I would use them if I had a wound. Or like an umbilical cord or a circumcision situation. It doesn't have to be, you know, a really horrible accident wound. But here's the thing to remember. Once you cleanse the wound, make sure the wounds are clean. Because if you're using Golden Seal or Oregon Grape, they draw that wound together, which is exactly what you want it to do. You want it to draw it together to heal, but you don't want dirt trapped down in there. And so the Golden Seal is really great for the antiviral bacterial situation, and the Oregon Grape will pull that together. You are
Yahweh. You're listening to the Remnant Radio Show with your host, Nitza Moshe. This concludes part A of Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride.